Well, good morning, everyone. I want to greet y'all in Christ's name. This is kind of a new experience for me. I've never done this before, but Joe texted me Friday evening and wondered if I could take care of the message on Sunday. I was like, really? You're joking, right? Well, turned out he wasn't. So anyway, for some thoughts, I didn't have a lot of time to try to decide what to talk about, but so I decided I would just think a little bit about some questions I've had for quite a while. Probably the last year or two, these things have been rolling around in my mind, and I sure don't feel like I have answers for them, but I just have a few things here that have blessed me. So what is our purpose in life? What are we here for? Why are we here? What's the plan? Am I really fulfilling what I'm supposed to be doing? So we all know that God put us here for a reason. And that reason is to bring glory to Him. But then the question is what I'm doing in life, is it really bringing glory to God? Am I actually accomplishing what He wants out of my life? I think He's got a plan for each one of us. We're not here just by accident or for ourselves. Too often I can get caught up in my own things, and I think I'm trying to serve God and bring Him glory, but yet I really end up almost, would you say, seeking my own glory or trying to get attention for myself. So that's been my question. How can I know? How can I know that I'm bringing glory to God, that I'm really doing what He wants me to do, that I'm filling His plan for my life? So what is the most important thing or the most important steps in bringing glory to God? I don't know that I necessarily have cut and dry answers on that, but my mind went to Matthew 22 verses 36 through 39. The two greatest commandments. This is the story about the lawyer that asked Jesus what the two greatest commandments in life are. So Matthew 22, verse 36 through 39. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, the first great commandment there is to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. That pretty much is everything. And you could probably make a message out of each one of those things, loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul and mind. I'm not going to try to dig into that too much. But the very first and most important thing for us, I believe, is our own salvation, is our commitment to God. We got to give it all to Him. There's really no room left for myself. The only way to really bring glory to God is to have my life completely dedicated to Him. So that's probably our first most important thing, is to be sure of our own salvation, to know that we have a relationship with God. And then the second one is kind of interesting. So oftentimes, I think, the first important thing in life is for me to have my own salvation, and then it would be the salvation of my family, is what I often think. And I think that's definitely right, but it's kind of interesting that the second one is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's interesting too that he says the second is like unto it. So how is the second one like the first one? So the first one is supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is like it, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So how are those two alike? I think they both are going to take a completely giving up of my own self and my own interest for the sake of God and for the sake of those around me. There's really no room left for selfishness. I think that's how they're... And also, I think the one can't go without the other, basically. We're not going to be able to give our whole heart, soul, and mind to Christ without treating our neighbors as ourselves. And we're not going to be able to treat our neighbors as ourselves without having first given our heart, soul, and mind to Christ. So I think they definitely go together. So in the thing of our families and our neighbors, so definitely our family, taking care of our families and providing for them is involved and is probably first in this list of loving our neighbors as ourselves. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. I'll look at that real quick. I didn't write it down. I should have wrote it down. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. 2 Timothy. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So our families are very important. But I think it's kind of interesting and significant that the second commandment doesn't strictly say just our families. Because I think it's pretty easy to make that a fairly comfortable excuse for not following God all the way sometimes. We got to take care of our families. We got to provide for them. And please don't get me wrong. That's absolutely 100% important. But yet there's more to it than that. There's God has made a way for our families. And we also need to be aware of the needs and the lost around us. You think about Abraham and Isaac. God called him to offer Isaac. And I think if Abraham would have rebelled on that and refused, he would have lost Isaac. He would have, maybe not physically necessarily, but he would have lost him spiritually. And I think too often that we can face the same thing if we hang on to something too tightly and not following God. If God has a plan for us and we hang on to something that we think is important too tightly, he might have to take it away from us. We might, most likely, will end up losing it. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't care and provide for our families, but yet God has other plans too, other things for us to do with our neighbors, the lost around us. If God is calling us and we're just using that for an excuse, that's not going to work. So now, for some of you moms especially, you're probably thinking, we really don't have time for anything else. And let's look at Titus chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, I've told my wife already, I'm almost jealous. Not jealous of all the hard work, don't get me wrong. That part I'm not jealous of, but it's so clear what God's will is for a mom, for a wife, is to take care of her family, to be a keeper at home. So God bless you in that. That is your call. That's what God has a plan for you, and it's an opportunity to affect the world and the neighbors around us in a way that is wonderful. And us as husbands, us as men, definitely have a part in that too. That's not strictly for the women. We definitely have our part in that. Anyways, I want to look a little bit more about our neighbors, who they are, and what that involves. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. This is the same story, just in Luke. He has a few more details here. Luke 10, verse 29 through 37. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at this place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So, in our search to find God's will for our lives, we had the first 2 commandments, is to love the Lord with all our heart, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. These are the first 2 things, I think, in bringing glory to God through our lives. So let's look at this man that was the neighbor here, the one that fell among the thieves. So this route was known to be a very dangerous route, and you know, we could look at this man and say, you know, foolish. Why did he go by himself? Why did he take the risk? He really got himself into trouble through his own bad choices. He really deserved, not really deserved, but it was what basically the outcome of making the bad choice of going down through there by himself. So don't that look a little familiar with some of the lost and the needy around us today? We kind of look at them and we say, we just shake our heads. They've made their choices. They've chose things that are obviously wrong, or things that have got them where they're at. You know, they're kind of repulsive to us, I think, sometimes. We wouldn't really say it, but we almost give the idea that, you know, they've made their own choices. They deserve what their consequences are. And I think too often we're like this Levite and these two men that went down and passed by on the other side. You know, we really don't want to get ourselves dirty. We've got this too down pat. You know, after all, if these people would be better, if they would be more like us, they wouldn't be in the trouble they're in. We don't really want to get dirty to help them. Now let's look at the Good Samaritan. I found it interesting the things he did here. he was a man that was looked down on. He most likely realized his own needs and that he obviously didn't feel extra good about himself. He realized he was human and had needs of his own. That first, the first thing he did, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's kind of interesting, I think. The first step in reaching this neighbor, this one that was hurt, the lost, was to have compassion on them. And I think that's how it needs to be for us, too. We have to look at these people and realize that it's really no credit of our own that we're not in the same shoes they are. We need to have compassion and realize that this is a hurting and a needy person that needs our help, and that most likely without help is going to die. And then the second thing he did, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He gave him the best that he had. He didn't hold back. He didn't just go halfway. He went all out. He poured in oil and wine. That's most likely the very best thing he had with him. And the third thing, he then put him on his own beast. He was willing to give up his own comfort, his own convenience, and to forego his own rights or his own convenient things that he deserved. He gave it up and gave it to him, put him on his beast and took him to an inn. So obviously he took him there and cared for him, and that involved a fair bit of time. He was willing to give his time. And then the very last thing he did was he gave money. He gave the innkeeper money there and told him to take care of him. And it's kind of interesting to me that this was the last thing. He could have seen this man and went on to the inn and then paid them to go back and get him, and felt like he'd done his job. And I think a lot of times we almost try to do that. We think we can give money and that's taken care of it, and that's definitely part of it, but that's not what it's going to take to really reach the lost and the needy around us. It's going to need to be more than just giving our money and our wealth that we have. So that brings us to money and our finances, businesses, in our search of finding God's will, finding glory for God, knowing that we're in His plan. So where does our money and our businesses, our finances, jobs, whatever, where does that come in God's plan for us? So obviously it takes a fair bit of our time. Does that mean it's important? Yeah, I think it does. It is an important part of it. It's definitely involved in being a help and a blessing to our neighbors, providing for our families, having to give those that have need. But the only way that it's really going to bring glory to God is if it comes under those first two commandments. If it's coming first, then it's definitely not going to bring glory to God. It's not going to bless others either. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a verse that talks about, just read that real quick. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So right there, that workman, that original word means laborer, toiler, worker. So our work comes right in that row of studying to show ourselves approved unto God and rightly dividing the word of truth. So our work, our business, our finances are definitely a part of our place in God's plan and bringing glory to Him. But there's also Matthew 6, verse 33. Turn to that real quick. says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And all these things that it's talking about here is, in the verses before, is our clothing, what we eat, what we drink, basically our daily living. So seeking God must come first. If our businesses, our finances, our money comes before God, it's not going to work. We must seek God first. It definitely needs to be the most important thing. I'm not really implying that we shouldn't be frugal, and definitely we shouldn't be negligent in our business. But seeking God must come first for our business to even be successful. That's God promises here in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek him first, he will bless us. Sometimes that's not, seeking God first isn't always going to be good business sense, good financial sense. It's going to probably look foolish to the world around us. But it seeking God must come first. If it doesn't, it's not going to work. God may allow us to be successful, even if we don't seek him first. But there is definitely a day coming where this verse is going to be proved true, that seeking the kingdom of God must be first. So, thinking more about God's plan for my life, what's left for me in God's plan? I think if we've mastered the two great commandments, then our goals are going to be God's goals, or God's plan is going to be our goal. But unfortunately, Satan doesn't allow our flesh to die that easily. So I think it's important to remember that, like, it's pretty clear in those first two commandments that there's no room for selfishness. There's no room for what I want unless it lines up with God's plan or God's will for us. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I think that's important that we remember that everything that we do must bring glory to God. It needs to be lined up with his plan. Now, each one of us is possibly going to have a different mission in life. God's plan for us all might be different. And there's no way that I can look at you and say that you're not following God's plan unless there's obvious things. But and there's no way we can look at each other and judge each other on that, unless obviously we're violating scripture somewhere. But it's going to have to be a choice that each one of us makes. We're going to have to look at our own hearts and look deep in there and realize, are we truly doing things to bring glory to God? I had to think about the story there in Esther about when Haman was trying to kill all the Jews, and Mordecai came to Esther and he told him that perhaps she was called to the kingdom for this very time. He made the statement that there's going to be deliverance for the Jews some way. God's people was going to be delivered some way, but if she refused to take her part in that, it was going to mean destruction for herself. And I think that's the way it is for us. If we are, you know, each one of us has been called to the kingdom right now for a reason. We're here because God has something for us to do. We're not here for ourselves. And God's kingdom is going to go on, and it's going to be successful, even if we choose not to be a part of it. God's kingdom will not suffer because I'm not willing to do God's plan for my life. but I will. If I refuse to follow God's plan and to do what He's called me to, I'm going to perish because of it. Just like Mordecai told Esther there, God's people were going to be delivered some way, and God's kingdom will still go on, but I'm going to be the one that's going to suffer. If when we stand before God at judgment, like if I was to stand before Him right now, the question comes to me, what is God going to be happy with what I've done in life? Is He going to be satisfied with where I've put my energies, my time, my money, with what I've done? Yeah, it's the blood of Jesus definitely that cleanses us from sin and makes us pure before God. But I think if Jesus' blood has cleansed us, then God's kingdom is going to be our foremost goal. And the things that we've had to give up here in life, whether it's whatever it might be, things we've had to give up to fill God's plan for us, to find His plan, it's going to be pretty insignificant when He comes back, when our eternal reward is before us. And I think the same thing's going to be true too if for the things that seem so important to us now, that we're not willing to follow God's plan for our life, they're going to look pretty insignificant as well on that day. So what am I doing? What is my life doing for God? Am I here just because I'm here and I happen to be living in 2021? I don't think so. God has a plan for each one of us. And the challenge is to me, am I totally committed? Am I all out to live that plan, to bring glory to God, to do what He has for me? It's just a challenge and something I want to do better at for myself. So that's just what I'd like to leave with us. Let's all just give our whole life to God and to be committed to serve Him regardless of what He asks of us. Why don't we stand for prayer?